Now everybody, let me tell you a story about Hollywood shame. Where terrible actors and scripts collide. Oh, what a mess it is on the other side. Saw the lights, camera, action begin. But all I got was a movie that plunged in a spin. From the first scene to the credits that roll. Oh, Hollywood disaster, you've taken its toll. Silver screen says cool, bad movies galore. Can't help but wonder what the hell were they making these for. Throwing some cliches to shut the predictable plot. It's a train wreck, I tell you, it's all they ever got.
And now for our feature presentation.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Cesspool, where we review the poo. And now your host, the surveyor of cinema, the mocker of moronic movies, the terror of tiny town, the last known survivor of battlefield Earth, the one of many, Alan Smithy.
Odds are you've never heard of the 1961 movie Nude on the Moon. But if its name sounds familiar, that's because in 2002, the name was borrowed by the B-52s for their double disc CD anthology. The movie Nude on the Moon is a fairly standard early 1960s sci-fi flick for the first 20 minutes. A scientist and a professor are working on getting themselves to the moon. Now keep in mind that it was in 1961 that the first human orbited the Earth, and we're 9 years away from walking on the moon and the summer of love. So the idea of two random dudes just up and going to the moon using the science of boiling different colored liquids in beakers seems, plausible for the time. I won't hold the modern standards for moon travel against anyone involved with this movie. Now the fact they had a $3 million budget in legal tender to get to the moon, I will hold against them. I understand a dollar went further in the 1960s, but the actual cost for Apollo 11 was $334 million. Other than that, those first 20 minutes are not bad. Well, there are some pretty terrible pacing issues. The movie opens up with a cartoon spacescape. The theme song plays, a star faintly twinkles, and the song plays. The entire song plays, and the screen never changes. No action, no dialogue, no credits. Absolutely nothing happens for nearly 2 minutes, and we just listen to this song. And it's not even a B-52's song like Rock Lobster, because that would have been interesting. Around the 15-minute mark, as our future astronauts hop in their Chrysler, it's as big as a whale, and go driving downtown, one of them asks the other to put on some music. Then we're treated to about 3 minutes of footage of them driving around, doing absolutely nothing but listening to this song until they see a faded sign by the side of the road that says 15 miles to the Love Shack. Where this movie starts to really go off the rails is when the scientists are ready to go do their cosmic thing. You see, they don't want to attract a crowd, so they don't tell the press they're going to the moon. This allows them to take off from their own private Idaho. And because building spaceships, even prop ones, gets to be a little expensive, we don't even get to see the outside of the ship, except from extreme close-up or extremely far away in a matte painting. On the way to the moon in the sky, called the moon, both of them spontaneously fall into a deep sleep. When they wake up, they've landed on the moon, and it looks nothing like they expected. In fact, it looks like a tourist trap in Florida, where all the building and furniture is made up from fossilized coral. They exit the ship in their spacesuits, which frankly makes them look more like Power Rangers than astronauts. They begin to roam around and explore when they come upon a wall with a ladder. One climbs up and spots about 52 girls who aren't nude but are topless, like they've been involved in some sort of hot pants explosion. And there are a few men and children around as well, and they're wearing little more than a gold Speedo. So I guess nude on the moon is a bit of false advertising, and it should just be topless on the moon. Professor climbs up and down the ladder, and without telling the scientist what he saw, the scientist climbs up the ladder and sees the same. Neither one ever acknowledges what they see. Neither says, wow, or ooga, or oh my god, aliens, or you have to see this to believe it, or even call out to the aliens, is that you, Modine? Yes, they're aliens, and you can tell this because of the visible headband with pipe cleaner antenna. The never-nude men capture the scientist and the professor. A topless woman bonks them on the head with a magic wand that makes 1960s sci-fi sounds, and then they throw them into an abandoned well. The heroes try to escape when they bang, bang, bang on the door, baby. The Queen of the Nudes calls a meeting of her citizens and tells them she thinks these guys are groovy and that they're just here to learn more about the universe. So everybody just be cool and chill out. We can let them roam if they want to roam around our world. Also, the Queen is telepathic and doesn't speak, and her citizens also don't speak either, and they're not telepathic, so it's not like anybody could object to this plan if they wanted to. Our heroes are freed, and they go about their work of taking photographs of the moon and its citizens, and taking notes, telling it like it T.I. is. They're both eyes up and respectful to the topless women. It's almost like they're practicing real good objective science. But what we're treated to for the next 25 minutes can only be described as odd, painfully odd. For 25 excruciatingly long minutes, we see this highly evolved, scantily clad race of extremely beautiful aliens running and frolicking, hugging and a-kissing, dancing and a-loving, wearing next to nothing because it's hot as an oven. They're engaging in all sorts of idyllic leisure activities, the sexiest of which is hot potato. This is all wonderful, up until somebody accidentally overthrows a ball. Wesley parties out of bounds and falls into a greenhouse, and they institute the death penalty as punishment. In the early 1960s, the only way to get around obscenity laws was to film documentaries on nudist colonies, and that's basically what we're treated to. But it's also supposed to be titillating with all the nips and other good stuff. But what we get is something as erotic as a cheese nip and sexy as a National Geographic. Any novelty of nudity has worn off after about 3 minutes. But clearly it's meant to be sexy since it fakes a nudist colony documentary and there's no reason to fake one except to try to be erotic. But it also isn't at all erotic, as they've been completely framed into scientifically unsexy context. Also, there's kids running around. All of this happens with the soundtrack ripped off of a similar era Disney documentary. How do I know it's a fake nudist colony? Well, besides the fact that they're not really on the moon, there are tan lines. Lots of tan lines. Something you tend not to get if you're all the time nude. So after a painfully long 25 minutes of this, with minimal boring dialogue, only coming from our Earthmen, our dynamic duo is about out of oxygen, so they need to go Power Rangers. But the scientist wants to stay because he's in love with the Queen, and she's in love with him despite having just met a few hours ago and never having exchanged any sort of dialogue up until this point. The professor talks some sense into him, and they finally head home. When they get home, they have difficulty proving that they ever went to the moon. When the scientist fell in love, he set down his camera and forgot it, like he's the president of the Deadbeat Club. They aren't even sure themselves that they were on the moon, since they both napped on the way there and back and autopilot took over. To be honest, I'm not sure that they landed on the moon either, because their view of the Earth had all the continents backwards, and Revolution Earth went counterclockwise instead of clockwise. Perhaps they accidentally went into that mirror universe where Spock had a beard or something. Given the painfully slow pacing of this movie throughout, I'd have to say this movie is about as much fun as watching a tin roof rusting. Nude on the Moon is available streaming on Plex.
Silver Screen Cesspool is written, directed, and starring Alan Smithy. Assistant director, producer, and stunt coordinator, Alan Smithy. Boom mic operator, sound editing, and music by Alan Smithy. Construction coordinator, The Amazing Rando. Makeup by Crayola. Catering was provided by the Soylent Corporation. Alan Smithy will be back in Return of the Curse of the Planet of the Prehistoric Bikini Ninjas versus Kingdom of the Bride of the Killer, Shark Cheerleaders 2, Electric Boogaloo.